there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to another episode of Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Simon Phillips.
Simon Phillips is here. Hooray!
That's right, Jay. I'm back to talk about my new film, Silent Bite.
Oh, I'm so excited. I have so many things to ask you, Simon. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what I would ask Simon Phillips if he was actually here.
What do you mean, Jay? I'm actually here right now.
Oi, I am too. There's two Simon Phillipses.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous. I'm Simon Phillips.
I'm seeing double here. Four Simon Phillips.
Simon Phillips is amazing.
He really is.
Is there anything he can't do?
Release the third Once Upon a Time Christmas movie.
It's coming. I have faith. It's coming.
Oh my gosh! I'm so excited. We're just gonna dive right into it. We're gonna talk about movie of the year. Great, maybe greatest movie of the entire, not just greatest horror movie, greatest movie of the entire 2024 catalog. We're gonna talk about a little movie called Silent Bite.
Indeed.
Let's deck the halls here. Released November 12th, 2024.
In the window. Yep. I like it.
Directed by Taylor Martin. This is her first time full-length feature film.
Ah.
So first-time director, or at least, like I said, first-time like full-length director. Written by Simon Phillips.
Oi.
Our favorite guy. He plays Father Christmas in this movie. Also, IMDb still lists the final part of Nick Ian Something Conway trilogy as pre-production. But maybe one day we'll get one Christmas night in a toy store.
Oh, it's coming, Jay. Don't worry about that.
We also have the return of Selah Degode back, but this time not as a Harley Quinn Mrs. Claus mashup, but as Mother. Mother.
Let's just say she could bite me.
Tell your children not to walk my way. Also, I am a vampire. What to mean, what to say.
Mother.
Luke Auledo plays Blake / Prancer. Nick Biskupic plays Grinch. Dan Molson plays Rudolph. Michael Swatton as Snowman, but also plays Sheriff Thompson in The Nights Before Christmas.
Yes.
Another connection to our favorite trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Ridgely plays the voice of the DJ guy at the beginning and maybe like random parts throughout the movie. And we will also see him again as Jack in Massacre on Aisle 12.
Can we just shout out Dan Molson? What a great performance.
No, he did awesome. He's fantastic. Tagline, 'Twas the heist before Christmas.
Excellent.
$250,000 Canadian. Budget estimated according to IMDb.
What's that in real money, Jay?
I don't know. $5. Hard to say what the Canadian.
Wow, amazing how they made a movie for that cheap.
Take note, Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Oh, yeah, that's true. How was Simon Phillips able to walk around with a rifle and not tactically bunny hop?
I
need these questions answered.
I know, right? where to watch this movie? A VOD, right?
Lots yes, of places. The best place to do it, if you want to check it out, is Amazon Prime Video right now, because it is December. You can rent it for $2.99. And then if you like it, you can buy it for $9.99.
Yep, I bought a Blu-ray. Literally the second I learned about it, I think the way it happened was I was checking Grindhouse Video to see if they had any Christmas horror movies.
Yes.
I was trying to buy Terrifier.
And then you immediately messaged me and you're like, holy shit, there's a Simon Phillips movie about Christmas vampires.
And so then so I did that immediately, like did a Google search to find out more about it. Then immediately like messaged Matt Dupay to be like, have you fucking seen this? And we also eliminated our personal experience. This is how we learned about this movie.
Indeed.
And Oh boy, like I said immediately when we saw it, movie of the year candidate.
We've been doing this for a while. Anybody who's been following the show for a while knows Simon Phillips is in or makes a movie, we're there.
Especially a Christmas horror movie.
Yes.
I've not seen anything else he's been in, but I assume they're all fantastic.
Yes. Anything he's in, I'm sure, is amazing.
I'm sure he's just like, "Oi, Witcher, 4 birds is enough for 1 episode of The Witcher."
And he was right.
Because I think he's in an episode of The Witcher.
Yes, he was in an episode of The Witcher.
I've not seen The Witcher. He's like, "Oi, Henry Cavill."
"Oi, I'll beat you up, Witcher." And he did, too.
Hells yeah. Way to get him, Simon Phillips. All right, well, let's... do you have anything else? Are you ready to start synopsizing this amazing film?
Let's just get into this.
Move over, Terrifier 3. There's a new Christmas horror movie in town for 2024. And it's got vampires and bank robbers.
Yes.
We get a weird AI opening set to like a Hard Rock Jingle Bells.
Yes.
I didn't think it looked bad up until you like can really notice that it's AI with the tires moving in weird ways.
I really liked the vibe of it, though. Like, it kind of reminded me of like Through a Scanner Darkly, if you've seen that movie, where they do the
like the comic booky kind of,
yeah, like rotoscoped animation. I like the style.
I didn't. There was, like I said, like early on, I was like, "Oh, this isn't too bad." And then I saw like the weird tire thing, and I was like, "Oh, this like I'm like, suddenly this like looks really, really weird." We'll get back to that. That's, we see a Jeep driving down a snow-covered road as 4 men in Santa outfits pull into the Jolly Roger Motel and Resort. As the radio tells us that 5 men in Santa outfits committed a bank robbery earlier. Indeed. I wonder if there's some connection.
I don't know, Jay.
They enter the hotel and tell the clerk named Colin that they are checking in under the name Scrooge. And then he's like, you're a day late. And he's like, and then Simon Phillips is like, "I bet you want to see our..." "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I bet you want to see our..."
"Credit ID cards and IDs.
For incidentals." "Oh, yeah, that's normally..." "Just lead us to the fucking room." He's like,
"I'm fucking joking."
We are introduced to our 4 robbers, Blake / Prancer, who's like the computer guy. He has 2 degrees from MIT.
Oh, is he going to bring that up, Jay?
Multiple times, which also means he's a medical doctor.
Yes. I mean, technically it's Institute of Technology, so I don't know.
But he also like does medical stuff in the movie.
He knows how to put a shoulder back in its socket, Jay.
It's Marvel Universe logic where a doctorate means you're a doctor at everything. Snowman, the muscle, who is also like a drug addict / cokehead /
it seems
alcoholic.
Like he's more of an alcoholic than anything.
And he also, at one point, Grinch is like, "What is he going to be, Snowman?" And then immediately snorts like a big line of coke.
Yes.
We get Grinch, who's, I don't know, the weaselly-looking dude who complains all the time. A real, like, Steve Buscemi kind of guy.
He's great. I mean, especially the back and forth he has with Prancer.
I think he's like the Mr. Pink. Mm-hmm. Like, then we get Father Christmas, Simon Phillips, our leader.
Mm-hmm. You know, there comes a time in every generation when you have to crown the greatest actor that's ever lived, Jay. I think Simon Phillips needs that crown.
It's Simon Phillips. There's no question. Put Simon Phillips in more stuff.
Indeed.
Prior to this, I was a big put John Lithgow in more things. Now I'm a put Simon Phillips in more things.
Yes. Can you imagine if he was in like mainstream? Can you imagine if Simon Phillips had showed up in Red One?
I would have lost my
How
shit.
Amazing that could have been.
Oh, man. Red One was already a lot of fun. Simon Phillips shows up 10 out of 10.
Exactly.
We're introduced to Rudolph, the 5th member of the gang, who was a decoy driver.
Yes. He's leading them north. Haha. That's why his nickname is Rudolph.
Yep. He's even at one point, he's like, "Run, run, Rudolph."
Yeah. Oh, and you catch that right at the beginning. See, I thought maybe it was an accident, but I think he dropped that bundle of money out on purpose so that the cops would have a trail to follow.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And so he's miles away. He pulls into a gas station, kind of, I think, like, smokes a cigarette, admires the snow, talks about how much he fucking loves Christmas.
Yeah.
Goes inside to pay the cashier, and his hands are covered in blood. And the gas station attendant calls the cops to alert them that there is a Santa Claus here, and I think he murdered somebody.
Don't forget, Jay, he brushes past two guys to get in that are standing awkwardly by the door, which I hate, by the way. If you're in a thing and there's a door, move away from the door if you're going to stand there and talk.
Agreed.
But he brushes them out of the way, and they're like, hey, watch it, Santa. And he's like, why don't you guys go out back and jingle each other's balls?
Oh, I fucking love Rudolph.
He's so great.
Colin, the hotel clerk, goes to room 666
yes.
and knocks on the door and alerts the mysterious eye that's watching him that they're here.
And what a great demonic eye. You see how it was all yellow and a ring around
yep.
it?
Yep.
Awesome.
Grinch wanders the hotel setting up cameras.
Well, he's supposed to be.
Yep. Turns out he didn't turn any of them on.
You didn't tell me they had to be on.
This is fucking Grinch. We cut inside room 666 as a girl is chained to a chair and gets turned into a vampire. That girl's name is Jeannie, by the way. Yes. And then Mother shows up and tells the three vampire girls and Jeannie about the robbers and that it is time to feed.
Some snacks.
The guys argue, then Father Christmas lays out the plan that basically they're waiting for Rudolph, that they're staying just down the road from the bank that they robbed yes, because Rudolph's leading all the police north.
Yes, they're literally 200 yards from the place they just robbed because obviously no one's going to look for them there.
Yep. And so they all went north. Or so he led the cops north. He's now making his way back.
Yes.
And then they're all going to escape once Rudolph gets back, and they're going to head right back past the bank, and no one will be looking for them.
How do you know he's not going to get caught? Because he's better than you, obviously. That's why he got the job.
He's the best decoy driver around.
Well, and he's like, I'm texting him. Why? Because you're nervous? Because he's late? And he's like, well, he loves a car nap. And he's like, you're kidding, right?
And then we promptly cut to Rudolph asleep in the car.
Yeah, and the cops just drive right past him. It's great.
Oh, what a movie. Also, Prancer is like, you know, everyone else I think has a weapon, right? This is yes. the scene where like everyone else has a weapon, and then Prancer slash Blake is like, I want a weapon, and they're like, all right, fine, here. Grinch is like, all right, fine, here, and hands him a spoon. He's like, use that.
That should be more than enough for you.
Father Christmas goes outside and burns all the Santa costumes. That way they can't be traced back to him.
Yes.
Blake then approaches him and they have kind of a heart to heart. And Blake reveals that it is deceased father owed money to Grinch.
Scrooge.
Oh, yeah. There's a Mr. Scrooge that's
He's
also
running this operation. And yes, his dad was in big gambling debt and also probably debt to do with his mom's cancer. And he's basically doing this job to make his debt even with Mr. Scrooge.
And so that's why he's here. That's the one thing. We don't really get a resolution to the old Mr. Scrooge thing.
Yes. I'm guessing that might be in Silent Bite 2, Jay.
We can only hope. I hope on Silent Bite 3 the E is 3.
Oh, it better be.
A real paisan, Fat Tony, approaches Colin and demands his money.
Which Colin accidentally calls him Fat Tony.
And then Colin's like, I'll have it tomorrow morning. And he's like, but it is almost tomorrow morning. He's like, no, I'll I got one more day. I'll have it in the morning. And basically Colin's whole idea is that the vampires are going to kill the bank robbers. And then Colin's going to take the millions of dollars.
Yes. Oh, well, because obviously Fat Tony's logic is, it's Christmas Eve. I want to be home on Christmas. So it's like, you really going to make me come back out here tomorrow?
I also thought we'd get some kind of resolution with Fat Tony, and we really don't.
No, not really.
He also thinks Mother's a prostitute.
Yes.
And says he's going to come back tomorrow to see her. Because her card is filled up for tonight.
Yep. Which Mother does not seem that bothered by.
Yep.
Because as soon as she leaves, she's like, I'm going to bite his dick off and watch him bleed out.
So great. And while this is going on, while Colin and Mother are talking, Blake is like watching the camera and sees Colin talking to himself because he cannot, the vampires don't show up on film.
Exactly. Which was a great detail.
Yep.
I like that they included that.
Blake's sensors also pick up movement in the pool, but we don't see anything. Snowman is sent to investigate. And
we find the two vampires swimming.
Yep. And yeah, he goes in and he finds two vampire women swimming, two of the vampires swimming. And they kind of seduce him a little bit. And he's like, all right, well, I'll go get, they're like, we'd love to have something to drink, but you know, the bar's closed. He's like, well, I got access to beers, ladies.
Yep.
And so he goes off to get beers. And he also goes to tell the other guys about the women that he found in the pool. Because I think maybe the hotel's supposed to be abandoned.
Yes, that was the whole thing, was they were told there was no one else there. And then there's movement in the pool area, so obviously there's somebody else there. So that's when Simon Phillips has his great chat with Colin at the front desk.
We then get a thing that says, 5 hours to sunrise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Rudolph arrives at the hotel, but decides to stay outside and have a smoke.
Yes.
Snowman alerts the others about the women, and Blake says he doesn't see anything on the cameras, but the rest of the crew think that these vampire women are cops, yes, and that this is some kind of, like, ruse to, like, have them let their guard down.
Well, and Rudolph makes a critical mistake, which he doesn't realize, is he tells Colin he's there to pick them up instead of going in and finding them himself. So obviously he's not going to tell them.
Yep.
But yeah, they're big. Basically, Simon Phillips is like, all right, this smells really fishy. Because one, no one's going to be interested in banging Snowman. That's their top. That's their biggest red flag for him and Grinch both. And they're like, I bet it's cops. You know, we need to investigate and figure out who these people are, why they're here. And so he sends Prancer, who's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know about anything about this. And he's like, don't you have a double doctorate from MIT? You can't figure out how to find out who these women are.
And then I love the part where he's like, is that how I sound all the time?
Yeah.
You know, when I talk about my double doctorate, he's like, yeah, but whinier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but whinier.
Exactly. Precisely.
Blake is sent to find out more about them. And, Snowman and Grinch are sent to investigate the girls.
Yes.
4 hours to sunrise. Rudolph runs into Mother, who I assume Colin alerted her about him.
Yes.
And the getaway plan. And they kind of have this back and forth. And Mother seems kind of like enchanted by Rudolph. And so bites him. And then Colin's like, well, don't we have to clean up the body? And she's like, Mommy wants a daddy.
Yep. Mommy like. So she's turning him.
Blake finds out about room 666.
Yes, of course.
No one thinks it's weird. I love that when it gets revealed that they are vampires, no one bats an eye at the idea that they are vampires. Yes. So that means vampires are a thing in this universe, and no one bats an eye to the fact that there's just a room 666 in this hotel.
I mean, where else are Satanists going to stay, Jay?
He gets the key because he goes to the front desk and kind of checks it out. And inside the room, he finds Jeannie, but gets attacked by one of the other vampire girls. And the vampire girl's about to attack him, or like is about to kill him. And he reaches into his pocket and pulls out the spoon, the only weapon he has, and stabs her through the heart with it, staking her into ash.
Because the spoon is silver,
made out of silver.
Which, yes, she got caught by the thing that always gets all villains. She was monologuing to Jeannie when she should have been killing him.
And then later on, Grinch will be mad because he's like, I wanted that spoon back. And he's like, it was used as a murder weapon.
It's a family heirloom. I wanted that back. And of course, Simon Phillips says, this is really the most important fucking thing to be talking about right now.
Father Christmas goes outside tries to call Rudolph this time, and the phone starts ringing near him.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls up his gun and he starts investigating, only to find Rudolph, what he thinks is dead body, laying in the snow, and he grabs the keys and runs back into the hotel.
But in a crazy twist, Jay, he's able to look around with his rifle without hopping through the snow.
Wild.
Crazy.
I was led to believe that's the only way you can tactically move through snow.
Yes, we're tactically moving.
3 hours to sunrise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Also, in between, did I mention that I know I said the 5 hours to sunrise. Did I miss the 4 hours to sunrise?
Yes, you did.
Well, who gives a fuck?
But as I say, we were also, did we talk enough about the pool?
Oh, we're going to be here there okay. Now. Snowman gets to the pool with the vampires, and he starts to strip.
The Grinch is pretending he's on a business call while they're trying to determine who these women are.
Yep. And I think at one point, like, this is when, this is Father Christmas is like, you know, they're not cops, like, they're fine. So Grinch is like, all right, have at him, I guess.
Yep.
So Snowman strips down to, like, his undies.
Their funny conversation on the way in the door to the pool. He's like, did you tell him you were rich? He's like, no. He's like, all right, well, that was the only thing I could think of.
And then he's kind of like, you're right. And he's like, kind of depressed, but then the women are still interested in him. And so he's like, whatever, just go with it. So anyway, Snowman's dancing around in the pool in his banana hammock.
Yes.
And he's like, kind of like, oh, I'm going to go underwater. Yeah. And he, like, dips his head underwater, and then he comes up and the women are gone.
Oh, and you're fucking with me.
And he can just hear him, like, laughing and taunting him. And he's kind of freaking out about it.
Yeah.
Grinch then gets a phone call from Father Christmas, who's like, you know, Rudolph's dead. We need to get out of there. And he goes to get Snowman, only to find him floating dead in the pool.
Dun, dun, dun.
Blake, Genie, Father Christmas, and Grinch reconvene at the bar, and Genie reveals that they are vampires. And they try, and if they try to leave, or as they try to leave, they run into two of the vampire women who kind of attack them, like popping Grinch's arm out of its socket.
Yes.
And they run back to the bar, barricading themselves in time. And Genie reveals that she's been turned, but she wants to help.
Yes.
And Grinch knocks her unconscious with the butt of his rifle. 2 hours to sunrise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mother and Colin discuss the situation, and that she thinks Genie is on her side because she's gonna be a hungry dog. And how loyal can a hungry dog be?
Yep.
The boys have restrained Genie with Christmas lights, always a great effect. And they try to find a solution, and Blake realizes that they can use stun grenades,
yes,
as simulated sunlight, a la Superman Red Sun.
Yes.
And Grinch uses one on her, and it like burns her hands but doesn't kill her because she's not been fully turned yet.
Yes, because stun grenades use magnesium to create that light, which does create UV radiation.
The two vampires burst in, and they bite both Father Christmas and Grinch, but they get Grinch like a lot better.
Yeah.
And he's able to pull the pin on one of the stun grenades, killing the one that's on him and injuring the one that's on Father Christmas.
He does actually do something fairly noble here for Grinch. When he's about to pull the pin on the grenade, he tells Blake to cover up Genie.
Yep.
Before he pulls the pin.
Yep. And so she gets protected from it, so she doesn't get badly burned or scarred or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the other vampire woman flees, but she's badly burned. 1 hour to sunrise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Father Christmas, they try to escape through a hallway, and Father Christmas tells Blake that he's about to bleed out, yeah, and that he needs to escape without him.
Yeah.
So Blake and Genie start to run off. The burnt vampire then shows up, and Father Christmas distracts her long enough to
light his own.
Basically, he's like, "You're right. You're stronger than me. You're faster than me, but you're dumb as a box of rocks."
Yeah.
And then pulls the pin to the grenade. She's like, "What do you mean?" And then you hear the beeping of the stun grenade, and then it flashes, killing her. And we assume Father Christmas bleeds out, although we don't see it, so he could be back for Silent Bite 2.
That's true. Oh, yes, Simon Phillips, of course, making a noble sacrifice, as he always does.
Blake tries to attack Mother with a pipe wrench and fails miserably.
Yes.
But Genie threatens her with the last stun grenade, basically saying it'll kill both of them.
Yep.
They're able to sneak into the squash courts. How big is this hotel?
I don't know. The Jolly Roger looks pretty cool.
Genie is fully turned at that point. Blake, realizing that there's no escape, offers himself up as her first meal. 3 minutes to sunrise. Mother finds Genie, and finds that she's like eaten Blake or fed on Blake. And
well, she has this like back and forth with her standing just outside of grenade range.
Yep. And then walks in and lets the door close, yep, behind her, only for Blake to pop up holding the stun grenade, mm-hmm, and turning it on, killing the two vampire women,
which is a callback to the beginning when she's like, oh, she wanted to be an actress. And then, so at the end, she's like, I told you I could be an actress.
Yep. Blake is able to escape in Rudolph's Jeep and drives off by himself. We then cut to Colin, who's carrying the big pallet of
ridiculously large block of money.
Yeah. And he's trying to escape out the front door, realizing that there's now like no cars or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he runs into a freshly bitten or freshly turned burning Rudolph in the sunlight, who bites him and starts laughing. End of movie. Silent Night plays over the credits.
Yes. Yes.
What a movie.
Excellent.
10 out of 10.
We'll see if Werewolf Santa lives up to Silent Bite.
Oh, could you imagine an underworld?
Oh my
where
God.
It's where it's Werewolf Santa versus the Silent Bite vampires?
Oh, be amazing.
Make it happen, whoever.
Simon Phillips,
make it happen. Call Joe Bob. Get Joe Bob on the phone.
Yes.
All right, Jeff. Well, where do you want to start?
Let's start with that Christmas spirit.
All right, how Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills? Kills, I would say not really.
No, nothing really.
I thought the movie was pretty Christmassy.
Yes, you do get a lot of good Christmas decorations. I mean, obviously, they're all dressed as Santa at the beginning. You can... the amazing, go jingle each other's balls line.
The bar that they're in is decorated for Christmas. Lots of Christmas lights used as lighting. Also, room 666. Lots of Christmas lights used as lighting. Yes.
Of course, we got Jeannie being tied up with Christmas lights.
Yeah. There's a big Christmas tree in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah. Plus, you know, we got just constant references to Christmas. Like, literally, the reason that Fat Tony is there is because he doesn't want to work on Christmas.
And yeah, all the guys have Christmas-themed code names.
Yep.
There's snow on the ground, which is more than we can ask a lot of movies for.
Yes. I mean, it's good. The Christmas spirit is there. It's a solid one. Christmas seems important because they're also... One of the key things they're hinging the plot on is that police, when they think they've fled north, are not going to want to be looking down here and manning barricades and stuff because it's Christmas Eve.
Yep.
They're going to want to be home with their families.
No, exactly. Like, if they all left to the north, you know, we don't need to do anything down here.
Yep. And because they wouldn't want to, because he's like, and obviously that was part of their plan too, was make sure we don't embarrass the police or anything, so they're not going to be after us hard.
They didn't kill anybody in the bank robbery.
So they did. That's honestly a really good strategy for a robbery. Commit it on a day when you know the cops don't want to work and make it as mild as possible.
Yep. No, it is really smart. It's like that new episode of American Dad where they try to plot the perfect robbery.
Yes.
And they almost get away with it.
Almost.
The Three Musketeers. All right. Do you want to do Christmas wrapping, set design, costumes, etc.?
Yes.
I loved that all the Santa outfits were different.
Yes.
That's a thing you and I have talked about.
It's a huge plus.
Silent Night, Deadly Night. All of the Santa outfits are exactly the same. You expect me to believe that for over a decade in Utah, they only sold one Santa outfit for about 13 years? I don't believe it.
And everybody bought that exact same one, too. Yeah.
So they all have the bells on. All these are different Santa outfits. They're all some of them look kind of piecemealed together. Blake is literally dressed as an elf. Like, I love that they all look different. I think that's a really nice touch.
And, I mean, obviously you got even when they pay off the manager, Colin, and he's with them now watching out for him, even though he's working both sides the entire time, he puts on a Santa hat.
I caught that, too. That's great.
Solidarity with the crew.
And I just love that, like, you know, Rudolph has, like, a really high-quality-looking Santa outfit, and then, like, Father Christmas's outfit is pretty, like, $5, like, Santa outfit kind of deal. Yeah. Like, I love that.
I love, too, that Rudolph, he takes it seriously. He's just gets, like, at the gas station after the jingle each other's balls thing, the clerk is trying to flirt with him, and he's just having none of it. She's like, oh, you know, you got a nice costume there. And he's like, it's more of a uniform, really.
It's so good. I loved that the location, the set was the hotel.
Yes.
Like, it really did feel like they were in a hotel. I'm still kind of wondering, how fucking big is this goddamn hotel?
When you see that outside shot, it is pretty good size.
No, it's huge. And it's just kind of a wild thing. But then also, how did you convince it to be empty?
Yes, that was my, it's like, so what is it really called, the Jolly Roger, or did they make that sign up?
We need to find out wherever this was filmed. We need to go to the Jolly Roger.
Exactly.
Horror for the Holidays, live on location, the Jolly Roger Hotel.
Maybe we get Simon Phillips to come join us.
loved what they did with the effects, especially with the budget they had.
Yes. I'd say great effects for because honestly, with a budget that low, you would expect basically none, like no effects. I mean, honestly, I think that's probably one of the better things they ended up doing.
The practical effects, I think, were on the burns.
Yeah.
And those looked all right. Like, those didn't look too bad. But other than, I think there was the blood in the swimming pool, I thought looked kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But I loved that, like, it's clearly, like, some kind of, like, burning ember fire every time a vampire gets killed.
Yes.
And they just, like, moved it down on the screen. So it's just kind of, like, the vampire is kind of, like, there's embers and, like, a kind of, like a glow seeping out of them, but you don't really see it. I thought that was really well done.
It turned out
and a good
way
to save money.
It turned out really well, whatever effect they ended up using for it. And, I mean, they've got nice, realistic-looking weapons.
Mm.
They did a good job on that, especially the stun grenades. They did a really good job on that.
No, I thought those looked really cool.
I mean, and the vampire costumes, especially Mother.
And they all have, like, weird, like, cracked glass around their eyes and stuff like that. You can I thought that looked cool.
Some kind of like black vein effect around their eyes. Yeah. And you can see when they go to bite people too, their lips like lose all their color.
Now there was some really nice use of like both, I think, practical and CGI in this movie.
No, I liked it. It was really good.
Do you want to do quotes or do you want to do broken bulb, brilliant bulb?
Let's do the quotes.
All right. Everyone's favorite part.
I mean, we already know what we're doing here.
Good point.
Whoa, watch out, Santa. Why don't you two go out back and jingle each other's balls?
Police car right after Father Christmas is like, well, he does fancy a car nap. Mm-hmm. Police car drives by, waking up Rudolph from his car nap. Guess it's time to run, Rudolph.
Yep. Oh, why do they call him the snowman, Jay?
Probably cut to him snorting a line of coke.
There we go.
Grinch. Mm-hmm. I want to take a shower and a shit and jerk off and relax, and I can't do that with Blake staring at me like a lost puppy.
Exactly.
And that's where we... And then Blake's like, I thought we were supposed to be using code names. Shut up, Blake.
I want that spoon back. It's a family heirloom. He literally just found it.
Oh, right off the bat, Simon Phillips, I assume you need RIDs and credit card for incidentals. Calling at the desk. Normally like to. I'm fucking joking. Where's the room?
Yeah. Another Simon Phillips exchange. He's at the end of it. He's being super serious. It's like, if you fucking lie to me again, I'll kill you. Anyway, good chat. See you later. Keep on lookout for us. We're counting on you.
Oh, what a movie. That's the thing. You can really tell, like, because Simon Phillips, like, is credited as writing the movie. Mm-hmm. You can tell a lot of the stuff we love from Simon Phillips in Once Upon a Time at Christmas and The Nights Before Christmas seeped into this movie.
He's very Nick Conway-like.
Yep. There's a lot of Nick Ian something Conway in this Simon Phillips performance.
Indeed.
It's almost like they're the same person.
Honestly, though, I thought he did have a really good moving... I didn't write it all down, but he did have a pretty good speech to Blake about how... Basically, he has nothing left to live for, and so when he dies on one of these jobs, it's not going to be any tragedy, but, you know, you have the chance to have a real life.
I really liked his character. I thought we didn't get a lot of him. I thought we got a little bit more backstory for the other guys.
Yeah.
You know, we learned that Grinch has a wife who likes the Twilight books.
Because we never even learn his name. He's just Father Christmas.
Yep. And so, but I really like that he's just kind of this mysterious leader,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, it's just kind of left up to interpretation. Like,
that's another one of my favorite lines of his. I'm projecting an aura of calm. Must be my amazing leadership skills coming to the fore. I'm great. Well, there goes the black cat mask.
Man, I need to clean up this office. All right.
But yeah, lots of great quotes, lots of memorable lines, especially, I mean, pretty much anytime Simon Phillips talks, you need to listen.
Yep. When Simon Phillips talks, you listen. That should be like the motto of this podcast.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to Broken Bulb, Brilliant Bulb. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise. Jeff?
All right, well, I'll start with the Broken Bulb, as I usually do. Broken Bulb for this, not a big enough budget. I wish they had been able to get more money, and it's crazy to me that at this point people aren't giving Simon Phillips more money. I think if he had had just a little bit more money, they could have done like a little bit longer of a movie and fleshed out these guys' backstories a little bit more.
I would have liked to see Snowman actually die.
Yes, because it's like we had to do a lot of off-screen kills, and we had to do a lot of like, it seemed like we were trying to rush things along, which, I mean, I appreciate that the movie didn't drag on unnecessarily. But I think this is one of the rare examples of a movie we watch on this podcast where if it had been like 15 minutes longer, I think it would have been good.
It certainly wouldn't have detracted from it in any way.
Because this movie does a really good job, even in the short runtime, of making you actually care about these characters. So I think a little bit extra would have gone a long way.
And Brilliant Bulb, thing you want to praise?
Well, on the flip side of that, what they were able to accomplish with such a small budget. And, of course, Simon Phillips is acting and writing. And I'm assuming he probably helped a lot behind the scenes that he's just not credited for because he's got a lot of experience movie making. I mean, obviously, you're talking to Simon Phillips, Jay. He's been on The Witcher.
Yeah.
He's been in Once Upon a Time at Christmas twice. He's making a list. He's checking it twice.
He's checking it twice.
He's great. I just, anything Simon Phillips is in, I'm watching. Honestly, I need to go back and see what he was in before I knew about him so I could start watching that stuff too.
Oh, absolutely. I'm gonna, I want to go out of my way and at least watch some of his other stuff.
But no, yeah, Brilliant Bulb, definitely. What they were able to achieve with such a small budget, and basically it is a chamber film. Again, it's a one location movie at the hotel, but it never feels like that you're getting bored or whatever with the location. You're always, you got like, because the way they do it, they never linger on one area for too long, and there's so many different things in the hotel you could flip back and forth between. It never gets boring, and I think that's really hard to juggle that. I think the only other movie we've seen that does it as well as this was probably The Leech, being stuck in the house for the majority of the movie. But this is Simon Phillips, you did it again.
For me, my Broken Bulb, I'm kind of torn. There's two things I kind of want to nitpick. For the thing I would fix, one thing is not so much the filmmaker's control or the people involved with the film, more the distribution partner. There's a weird thing on my DVD, and I'm assuming it's on other people's DVDs. The first sound or the first like English thing is surround sound, not stereo.
Hmm.
And so the sound gets really like mixed up and like it's really hard to hear people. So you have to flip it to English 2 where it's then becomes stereo. And I think stuff becomes a lot clearer.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with that is if you go to the settings menu on my DVD, especially like my DVD, I noticed, and I think other people have had this problem. At least one other person I've talked to has. You can't move the settings menu.
Mm.
It stays stationary. So you have to go, you have to start the movie and then go in and add subtitles and then go in and change the, like, from English 1 to English 2.
Right.
So kind of a dumb thing to nitpick, but it's just a weird thing that happened. And so, like, hopefully, you know, if they print more of these DVDs, something to fix, you know, next time they do a release. The other thing is the weird AI opening. I understand the constraints. I think it would have been cooler to just have the car driving through the snow. Maybe you have like, you know, you have Grinch driving or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cause there's two Jeeps, there's two vehicles.
Yeah.
So you have like, you have maybe Grinch driving, you have like a snowman, you know, drinking a beer
mm-hmm.
out the in the passenger seat. You have Father Christmas in the back, you have Blake, and you have them kind of like you're introducing their kind of characters, you're introducing kind of who they are. You could kind of see who they are. You know, even kind of have these scenes be silent. Like they're not saying anything, but just kind of like you've got Blake on the computer or something, so you kind of know, oh, this is our tech guy. You know, you've got Snowman like doing some kind of drug. Or you know, drinking a beer, so you kind of know, oh, this guy's our muscle, but he's also, you know, he might be a liability. And you have this going on, and then you just have the radio playing about the... You do more with the DJ talking about this robbery. I think that would have been a cooler thing to do.
I think that's just strictly down to budget. I just don't think they had the money to do more car shots.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's just, like, one small thing where I'm like... I would have preferred that, but otherwise, I think it's great. No, I agree with you. I love the rotoscopy kind of look of all those scenes.
I like it, but yeah, I think a lot of the shortcomings of this movie just came down to budget.
And then Brilliant Bulb. I love the relationship between like the four robbers. Like they do, they, you know, especially because we know Simon Phillips has worked with a couple of these guys before.
Mm-hmm.
You can really kind of feel that relationship between the guys, and like they, you know, they pick up on lines at the right time. Like they know when to interact with each other. They kind of know, and you can kind of feel that, like you can feel that familiarity between the actors. And I think that really comes through in the movie.
Yes, it does. It creates a nice effect. So you could feel like this is not these guys' first job and that Blake is the odd man out. It helps a lot.
And so that, I think that really works. The only shortcoming in that, you know, in saying that, is we don't get a one-on-one scene between Simon Phillips and Selah Degode.
Yes.
Would have loved them to interact at one point, just because it's like, you know, it's Once Upon a Time at Christmas.
Again.
Yep. But yeah, I think there's so many things to praise this movie for, but that was kind of my biggest thing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, Jeff. I mean, everybody knows, but it's time for our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate the Christmas horror movie we watched on one of three categories. Is it Ho 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 Hilarious? Is it Seasonally Scary? Or is it You'll Be Sorry? Jeff?
I was torn on this, because
I was too.
Despite being a fairly serious movie, it also has some great humor in it. But honestly, I came down on just because it was such a well-executed movie for such a low budget, and Simon Phillips obviously is an amazing actor as well as an amazing writer. I'm going to give it Seasonally Scary. I think there's enough, there's especially if you're, because like my mother-in-law is very vampire phobic. She won't even watch anything if she thinks there might be a vampire in it. I could see this being pretty scary for people who have that vampire phobia.
I can see that.
Because especially the way that they treat the vampires in this, where they're just like casually murdering people around the hotel, treating it like a game. And especially Mother does a great job of being like that creepy presence. And whenever she enters a room, especially in her conversations with Colin, you could tell that he's like very on edge, especially when he tries to tell her what to do and she smashes that bottle in her hand and gets super serious all of a sudden. She did a great job there. And that's why that kind of pushed me over into Seasonally Scary territory, and especially the way that they treat the vampires like they're serious, too. Like, especially at the end when Father Christmas and Grinch are fighting them, they don't treat it like it's a joke. It's like a serious fight. Yeah, I liked it.
No, I agree with you there. I went with Ho Ho Hilarious. You know, not as funny as the other Simon Phillips movies that we've watched. But I think those are more unintentionally funny, we believe. Like, yeah. I think those ones are trying too hard to be serious, mm-hmm. while this one, like, finds kind of the right mix between the two.
Yes.
This one's just funny at all the right parts. I think this is a great debut for our first-time director, Taylor. Mm-hmm. Taylor Martin, I believe.
Yes.
Like, I think this is a great kind of first-time appearance. You know, it's a great Simon Phillips script. I think it's a great mm-hmm. idea. Like, this is everything I expected from a vampire Christmas bank heist movie.
Yes. As weird as that combination sounds, it works pretty well.
And I mean, we'll at least get one other appearance from in a vampire Christmas movie. I think too, there's also supposed to be like a vampire Dracula or like a Dracula Santa or something coming out at some point.
Santula, of course.
but that's down the road. There's also Red Snow, which is a vampire Christmas movie. But I right now I think this one's right up there with Two Front Teeth for a really fun vampire Christmas horror movie.
Yes. It's like you said, perfect balance of being funny when it needs to be, but serious when it needs to be.
And yeah, just like all around, I think the thing that kind of bugs me the most, and it's not anything to do with this movie. You know, this is a first time director, and we know what people on the internet are like. We read these reviews all the fucking time. We've literally made it part of our show, reading bad reviews. Are reading reviews that are contradictory to what we've said, and this just feels like people like I don't want Taylor Martin to get discouraged because like you made a good movie.
Yes.
People on the internet are just assholes. Like ignore the haters. This is a fun movie.
Especially ignore the things I'm about to read from IMDb.
I was gonna say the same thing. Let's move into it. Let's do Clothes for Christmas. Yeah,
Jay, have you ever considered we might just be full of shit and really stupid?
I think that every day. I've listened to episodes of our podcast. You want me to go first?
Yes.
All right. 1 out of 10, Turkey Horror Borefest. Okay, if someone had only $1,000 to make an Xmas movie with vampires in it, then this movie would be it. The so-called gang are supposed to be in a hideout where they are waiting on their ticket to get out of the motel bar. The characters of the gang are dull, and you don't care if they all die because they are so unlikable. Disagree, I think they're all great.
Yes.
So the gang are facing vampires who can't act for toffee.
Okay.
Must be a British person again, maybe.
Yeah, I guess.
I do wonder if some of the cast have actually done any drama lessons in this life.
Oh my god.
You know, celebrated actor Simon Phillips.
Yes.
Beloved actor on this show specifically. Overall, the movie is a massive turkey of boredom and your usual horror cliches you find in these kind of movies. Is it worth watching at all? No, it's awful and very forgettable in truth. 1 out of 10. Don't bother. This movie sucks. 2 people found that helpful, but 3 people found that unhelpful. Way to go, 3 people.
Yeah. So it has a 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb, which I think is a crime considering some of the movies that have better ratings than that. But yes, there were 58 people who gave it a 1-star review. Let me just pull up my favorite here, Jay. If you've got nothing else going on, this could be okay. Super low budget, bad acting, stupid premise. I mean, vampires, really? Come on. The script was made for comedy, I hope. I laughed in some parts. Most of the cast just kind of acts like they're there, I guess. Pretty cheesy, but wouldn't recommend. So despite the weird structure of that review, I think you got the sentiment.
The other one I wanted to read is a 5 out of 10 review. Silent fart.
Oh, okay.
I think they thought they did something there.
They did something there, Jay.
The idea of this movie is very interesting. That's what got me watching it in the first place. But I regretted doing so because the quality is so pitiful. The acting from most actors are second rate at best. Disagree. I think they all do a very competent job.
Yeah.
To even a great job at points. The logic of its plot only works for kids who are still in kindergarten. I mean, using a spoon to kill a vampire? Really? What do you think their skin is made of? Tofu? Once again, it was a silver spoon. That was literally the thing.
That was the point.
LMFAO. They didn't stay consistent with the vampire lore they're using. At the end of the movie, there's a vampire walking in the sunrise, but not getting incinerated to dust. How the heck did that happen? Because the screenwriter said so? Major facepalm.
Well, one, he's in the shadow of the building, so he's not in direct sunlight, and he's also burning.
And he's also freshly turned.
Yes.
Like, we learned that it took Jeannie a long time to turn, because she literally had just turned moments ago, and Rudolph got turned after her.
Yes.
So he's burning up in the sun, but also,
slowly.
Yep.
Yes, you could see he's got sparks coming off of him. He's just not dying because he's a newly made vampire. Anyway, and he's in the shade.
Because the screenwriter said so, major facepalm. I don't want to be a jerk, so I added another star to my initial rating. It sounds like you did want to be a jerk. I really think that in the hands of the right director and screenwriters, once again, you had a great screenwriter, his name is Simon Phillips.
Indeed.
And a really solid director, this movie can turn out better. Way better. One out of two found this helpful.
All right, Jay. Ready for my final one?
I am.
One star. Crap. This crap was so lame. Setup, excellent. Payoff, zero. These clowns had no idea what they were doing, treating vampires as if they were a joke. Spoiler alert, this guy thinks he's a vampire in real life.
Absolutely.
I found this on Reddit. No, he really does.
Oh, amazing.
He's a vampire. The arts with which we hunt our prey are no laughing matter, Jay. The fact that Taylor Martin thinks that a vampire would behave this way is ridiculous. Of course, you know, based on real vampire behavior, Jay, this totally got it wrong.
I love the vampires that hang out on chat rooms that are trolls.
First of all, vampires would never expose themselves in a manner like this. Trusting a weaselly hotel manager to keep their secret? Obviously, they would have turned him as a thrall, Jay.
This person, and I will say there is one good vampire who is an internet troll. His name's Colin Robinson. But anyway.
I would give this movie 0 stars if I could. Oh boy, that's original. Never heard that before.
I love when they say that.
I actually thought that Simon Phillips might know something about this, considering he has been in a few horror movies himself.
And they're all great.
Obviously, he has no idea about vampire culture. Jay,
there's a Sirius XM where they do Scream Radio. There's one of the things that they play is this like vampire lovers, like vampire like meetup kind of like little radio play. And this person feels like they exist in that universe. Like
the idea that a silver spoon would turn one of our kind to dust is ridiculous. The allergy to silver acts slowly, Jay. Slowly.
Oh, shit.
And our vulnerability to sunlight has been greatly exaggerated. I feel drained in the sun. I don't spontaneously combust.
I sparkle in the sun.
And that's that review, Jay.
That person needs to get out of their mom's basement.
You like that? I like that.
I did like that. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I thought we needed something lighthearted to wrap up.
That
if it wasn't so serious, it would be funny.
I want to have that vampire on the podcast. Vampire, if you're listening, come on the podcast.
Yes. We'll make sure we don't have any garlic or silver on us.
Yep. Well, and hey, we'll make sure it's not so draining for you. We'll do it at night.
Yes. After sunset, of course.
Oh, my God.
All right, Jay. I think after that, it's time to wrap this up.
Yeah, let's take our vampires, put them on our naughty list. How do you think these vampires rank against our one other vampire so far, Klausferatu?
It's hard to say. Honestly, I feel like Klausferatu would probably kick their ass.
Yeah, I do too. We know Klausferatu knows martial arts.
Yes.
Which there's no implication that Mother or any of these other vampires know martial arts.
They seem to leverage their superior strength and speed, but they don't really ever do any kind of cool fighting moves or anything like that. So I'm pretty sure, but I don't know. It would be like, what, 1v5 if you count Genie turning?
Well, but we're also Klausferatu also had all those vampire elves.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, Klausferatu takes it. I think they got to be below Klausferatu. All right,
so just below Klausferatu?
Yes.
All right, sounds like a good place to me. And we'll see where our next vampires rate when we do Red Snow.
Yes.
Slash what vampire Dracula or whatever. Santa Dracula or whatever.
Santula.
Whatever the fuck it's called that's coming out maybe next year. Well, Jeff, it's time to have a small little Christmas feast in a segment we like to call
Garbage Day.
Huh? No.
All this talk about drinking blood and being vampires made me hungry, so we're gonna it's time for us to eat.
Jay must feed. Oh boy.
I don't think we did these last year. Dot's Lump of Coal.
Nope, I don't think we did.
Also got some Sour Punch Arctic Straws, so we'll need to grab a berry melon, a lime cucumber, a watermelon honeydew, and a grape pineapple.
Ah, okay. Let me open my coal, Jay.
And if you thought we were done, we're not. Got some Nerds Gummy Clusters, Christmas version.
Oh, awesome.
Still not done. We got some M&M Toasty Holiday Peanut.
Yeah, my wife was literally just talking about that when we were at the store earlier. She's like, I don't know if that would be any good.
We've got Jelly Belly Candy Cane flavor.
Ooh.
To wash it all down with, we got a Starry Cranberry Blizz, the return of the... Sierra Mist Cranberry that people love so much.
The Return of the Blizz. That sounds like a American Dad thing.
Return of the Blizz. Does the Blizz have anything to do with that Rizzler kid on Costco guys or whatever?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Last but not least.
I got one of each thing.
We got Millstream Brewing Company Holiday Cranberry Cream Soda.
What?
So we can have our little holiday feast.
Ah, yes.
There's more holiday feasting to come.
If anybody listens to this podcast and doesn't expect feasting at this point, yes. I don't know where they've been.
And if they didn't want us to eat and review shit on the podcast, they would write emails.
Reviews and send us emails telling us to stop, but nobody does. So yep. We're just going to keep right on doing it.
I'm gonna take a quick swig of this cranberry cream soda.
All right.
That's delicious. That's not bad at all.
Let's try this out. That's really good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Excellent.
I believe brewed right over in the Amana colonies.
Ah, exotic.
All right. Well, where do you want to start?
Do these Jelly Bellies.
All right. I assume they will taste like candy cane.
They better. They fucking better, Jay. I'm tired of things advertised as candy cane that aren't. Like those damn sodas we had last time. It's like, this is supposed to be candy cane? Oh, my God. I can't even get in this thing. It's not a good start.
Oh, there you go.
There was a corner you were supposed to tear. J-Logs has made me look like a fool yet again.
Tastes like a candy cane.
All right, here we go.
They actually did it.
Yes. Oh, my God. Amazing. It is possible.
It's not that hard.
It's actually pretty good. I'm going to hang these on my tree instead of regular candy canes. I'm sure that'll work fine.
And the good news is, because they are... only candy cane flavored. We can't shove a bunch of different flavors in our mouth and be like, how will that taste?
Oh, boy.
Jeff, those were all good on their own, but what if we put all five of them in our mouths?
I'm sure it'll work out great, Jay.
All right, so I think it's a dark blue and a light blue. Is that the... I think that's the thing.
I think? I don't know.
I got a green. I got a purple. Let's see. I can't even. No, yeah, there's a dark blue and a light blue. I see one of them side by side with the other, I think.
All right.
According to this, dark blue is berry lemonade, green is lime cucumber, light blue is watermelon honeydew, and purple is grape pineapple.
I went with lime cucumber first. Not a fan. It's okay.
I remember loving Sour Punch straws as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't good anymore.
They're really not. All right, I'm going for the light blue.
Maybe I have two light blues. Hold on.
I don't think there is a third blue. I looked in there. I couldn't find it.
God damn it. We didn't even get all our blues. How else are we supposed to blue ourselves?
Blowing ourselves all over the place.
Oh, whatever. Fuck it. I don't care. These probably are going to go in the trash anyway.
Yeah, that blue one, it's not doing much for me either, Jay. And honestly, I think that purple one's the best one.
It sounds the best out of the ones. All right, what next? Let's do, why not? You got those dots open. I'll open my dots.
Let's do it.
We'll try some lump of coals.
Here we go, going in.
Blackberry and black cherry are the two flavors.
I know this is going to shock you, Jay. Tastes like dots.
What? You mean it's just the waxy flavor dots?
Yep.
The classic waxy flavor?
Mm-hmm. The one that everyone loves.
Dots, one of the worst Halloween candies?
Yet somehow my sister-in-law's favorite candy.
Weird.
Sad.
Who wakes up in the morning and decides dots are their favorite candy?
I don't know. Weird. I mean, they're not terrible.
No, I mean, they're dots. They're neither dots. Good nor bad.
They're just kind of there.
Yep.
All right. Let's see something that we know is going to be good. Nerds Gummy Clusters.
I love the red, green, and white Nerds. $5, they're probably just going to taste like Nerds Gummy Clusters. But
here we go.
But they're going to be great.
Getting a little something.
I think there's a little more flavor on these.
A little different. But I mean, still Nerds Gummy Clusters. Still yep. Good. Like that.
All right, let's finish off with these toasty holiday peanut M&Ms.
Let's toast our nuts, Jay.
Let's go jingle each other's nuts. Wait.
Yeah, let's go jingle each other's balls.
Let's go toast each other's balls.
Hey, with RFK Jr. in charge of everyone's health now, Jay, ball tanning might become an approved treatment.
Oh, fuck. I mean, I am excited. Finding shit to do on this podcast is going to be a lot harder if RFK makes all the changes he wants to.
Honestly, I kind of like it. There's going to be that Christmas feel.
I kind of love it. Like, I think these are awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, replace peanut M&Ms with these.
Yeah.
They've got like a spice nut flavor or something.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Really good. All right, we're going to wash it all down with some Starry Cranberry Craze Haze. What is it?
Cranberry Rizzler.
Oh, yes, the Rizzler.
You know, that fat kid.
Mike Lombardo.
The Rizzler, yeah. No, he's the Riz King.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Rizzler is a fat kid who showed up on the last AEW pay-per-view.
That's good. I like it.
So my understanding was this was like kind of a yearly See or Missed thing. They kind of like how Sprite does like the Winter Spice Cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of their response. They did it for like, I think in like the late 2000s.
Mm.
And then immediately... Like, it just vanished from shelves. It stopped appearing. And, you know, people have been kind of banging the table, clamoring for it to come back, and it finally came back this year. I think it's only in the zero sugar variety, which is fine. Like,
yeah.
But it's, no, I think it's pretty tasty.
I've honestly started to prefer zero sugar after being off of the regular sugar stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of with you.
But yeah, good. Solid. I like it.
Yeah. Let's, I don't know, rate the things.
All right, let's do it.
Worst is probably the Sour Punch straws.
Yes, Sour Punch straws, bad. Probably dots after that.
Agreed.
They're dots. Probably Nerds Gummy Clusters after that.
Because they're kind of bog standard.
Yeah, pretty good, but not anything super Christmassy. Then probably the Candy Cane Jelly Bellies.
I agree.
Got that good Christmas flavor
to them. I think it really comes down to the two sodas and the toasty M&Ms.
I like that cream soda you had, but I honestly think I like the Starry a little bit more. I think I put the cream soda than the Starry.
Yeah, the cream soda is a really neat idea, but it's a little.
I think it's executed as well.
Yep. But yeah, no, I think I agree with you there. I just took a retaste just to kind of remind myself, and like, it's almost a little root beery.
Yeah.
More than it is almost cream soda.
Yeah.
And then those toasty peanut M&Ms, those are phenomenal.
One. Yeah, top, no question.
I think that's the first time maybe M&M has been our top flavor thing.
Honestly, I think it is.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, stop us from eating into the microphone, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com.
We're never going to stop.
Get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places. We are at @horror4holidays. I've been posting a Christmas horror shirt a day. I'm trying to see. I didn't count to see how many I had. So we're going to see if I get to 25.
It's a mystery for everybody, including the guy posting.
And then also I've been doing TikToks. If you came over from TikTok, hey, welcome. Yes. Thanks for joining us over here. I've been posting TikToks about movies we've both done on the podcast and haven't watched yet for the podcast. And doing kind of a little advent calendar over there too. So
cool.
So trying to, you know, since it's our time, since it's spooky season for Jay and Jeff,
it's our time.
I'm trying to get people over to hang out with us and get more people involved.
Indeed. YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Leave us a subscribe on there. Leave us one of them comments. Hit that bell, which is the real subscribe button for some reason. I don't understand that, but whatever, YouTube, you do you.
It's me, Simon Phillips. You know how else to help out these guys? Leave them a review on your podcatcher of choice. 5 stars. If it's a bad review, I'll hunt you down and I'll kill you. But if it's a good review, you've been a good boy and you'll be on my nice list, like in Nights Before Christmas. Oi, what?
Thank you, Simon. You're amazing.
Also, tell a friend. Whoa, hey, Simon, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Yeah,
you're welcome, boys.
Coming all the way to Iowa just to do this.
Yeah, man, what a nice guy. What a hero. Fucking love you, Simon.
Amazing actor, amazing writer, and just a great guy.
What a hero. There goes my hero. Well, we're going to get sued for all the songs I sang part of in this
There moment. Goes Simon Phillips. Watch your mouth. Silent Night. Oh, my God. Nights. Silent Night, Deadly Night remake with Simon Phillips.
Yes. They announced that Silent Night, Deadly Night remake. Make it happen.
Yes. New Billy.
New Billy, Simon Phillips. Simon Billy Phillips. All right. Anyway, wow.
Ian something Conway. Anyway.
Simon Ian something Nick Conway Billy
Phillips.
All
right. We're getting off track. This is the outro, Jay.
Yeah. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer. I'm going to reveal it right now. Jeff and I are going to drink eggnog, and we're going to color in a Silent Night, Deadly Night coloring book that I found. And we're going to see how that translates to an audio medium.
Yeah, all audio.
We'll probably also eat shit.
I've got a little surprise for Jay coming too. He is not aware of yet.
All right, it's going to be a fun one. So join us next week for a stocking stuffer, and then 2 weeks, our episode before Christmas. I think we're going to do the 2019 Black Christmas, but maybe we'll do something else instead because I'm not looking forward to that movie.
We'll see.
There's things I remember liking about it, but overall, I remember not being a huge fan. So. We'll see what happens.
Indeed, we will.
Anyway, we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one, mates.
Oh, thanks for coming back, Simon.
He never left, Jay.
Oh, what a star. All right. Bye.
Oh, it's me, Simon Phillips. Garbage Day.
Garbage Day. What?